I guess that's how much research I did for this episode that one of the more, call that an interesting nugget, a nugget-worthy nugget came up in my search for a tagline for this episode. What's up? This is Movies On Up. Every piece has a puzzle. The puzzle piece that completes me is seated right across me, Mr. Dave Bisella.
I'm a corner piece because they're the best.
Because there's only four of them and you absolutely need that to start going. I'm one of the border pieces that is a solid color. He's Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Every piece has a puzzle is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, and I think we'll give you a big giant hint for about the next 30 minutes, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can send your guess to us on the Facebook at facebook.com/moviesonup or tweet your guess to us @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you'd like to play a game with us, and if you win,
do you want to win a prize pack?
If you do want to win a prize pack, send Saw to us in one of the three ways that I just described, and we will send to you a prize package. It's just that simple. It's not convoluted. It won't hurt at all, we promise. Kind of heading down the home stretch for the month of Halloween. We've got 1 week left, two episodes, and for whatever reason, was this another Ryan Burke suggestion?
I think so. Somebody, yeah, probably.
Probably. We'll just give him the credit slash blame.
It's a franchise that has 9 movies or so. I don't think we've ever talked about it.
No, one of the reasons is that you have only ever seen just one, and that
I saw Saw.
You saw Saw,
yeah.
And none of the sequels. I've seen them all. I can't honestly tell you, apart from this one, what happens in which one. Dave asked me before we started rolling which one.
Marky Mark's brother.
Yes, is Donnie Wahlberg in? And I said one of the middle ones. That was as best I could do. I know it's not one. It's not seven. It's somewhere in the middle.
And that's where I don't regret not watching the rest. I enjoyed Saw. I liked Saw for what it was. I thought it was great. It was unique. You lose a little bit of that freshness when you watch it 8 more times. I'd like to compare this franchise with Final Destination. Because Final Destination I thought was good. I liked it. It was different. It was unique. The second one I like even better. After the second one, it's like, oh, which one was the tanning bed death? I don't know. The swimming pool disembowelment. I remember them, but I don't remember which ones exactly. And I imagine that's even worse with Saw, because I assume you have 3 or 4 traps per movie times 8 movies. So I can imagine them just getting muddled together.
That does tend to happen, but it's a franchise that we don't talk a lot about, but certainly from 2004, when this one came out, through 2010, there was one every Halloween. So certainly I was right in the wheelhouse for that. I do remember being there opening weekend in 2004. I was a target market.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people that listen to our show certainly were the target market. And we've seen maybe not all of them, maybe 1, 2, maybe you've seen 5 of them. But I think that specifically this time of year, it warrants at least a discussion. And I think starting at the it's a good place to begin, start at the beginning. But I also, having seen them all, I'm fairly confident in saying that this is the strongest.
I'll agree with that, even though it's
take my word
it's the
for
strongest
it.
One I've seen.
Very good.
It definitely has its place. You know, Jigsaw isn't Freddy or Jason or Michael Myers. He's not going to be looked at the same way 30 years from now. But it's one of the only closest we've got. Think of horror franchises. You had Jason, who went up to 10. You had Nightmare on Elm Street, which went up to 6 or 7.
Both of them have been rebooted. There was a crossover.
Halloween kept going up until early 8. Aughts. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
the reboot.
Rebooted as well. You're Chucky.
Yeah, it's still going. Yeah. Like, you have these horror franchises, and naturally, I don't think Saw gets thrown in with those, just because Jigsaw isn't Chucky. He isn't that iconic character. But when you're thinking iconic horror franchises, it's got to be there with them. Like,
yeah,
it's got to be in the same breath.
I mean, we have talked about the Paranormal Activity franchise was in about a similar time frame as this one. I can't remember which predated which.
The first Paranormal 08? Activity was like 09-ish.
Okay.
when it was wide.
So this
released.
Was kind of winding down by the time activity was really ramping up. But those, I would say, up into maybe the newer ones now, like The Conjurings and that kind of stuff, those were kind of your big franchise horror movies that were going at the time. And certainly, I think Saw, at least for me, back in 04, really did come out of left field. I had not heard much from James Wan before. The cast, at least, I guess, two-thirds of your principals are pretty well-known. You've got Cary Elwes and Danny Glover, guys who you recognize, but not necessarily in their prime, and then Lee Wannell. The movie was produced for about $1.2 million, and I would guess a lot of that probably was getting the two leads. But if you were worried about laying out $1.2 million as a bet, opening weekend, the movie grossed $18 million Halloween back in 2004. Finished third behind The Grudge and Ray. Shark Tale and Shall We Dance round out your top five. Again, keep that $1.2 million figure in mind. It went on to gross $104 million worldwide, which includes $56 million domestically, putting it in 1,365th place on the all-time domestic list, just behind our favorite animated Anna Kendrick movie.
Trolls? Coming
No,
November
our favorite
4th?
Our favorite one, the one we like.
Oh, Paranorman.
Paranorman it is, yes. And one spot above.
That Timberlake song is dope, though.
Yeah, I can't see myself getting through Trolls. I'm very sorry, Anna. I'm going to have to skip this one. One spot above the 2000 Jet Li Aaliyah, or as I like to call it,
Romeo
Jet Li
Must
film,
Die.
Romeo Must Die. Yes, as if there were multiple of those. Just to kind of give you an idea, what else is floating around about 1,300 somewhere on the all-time list? Last year's Trank Job, the Fantastic Four, just five spots ahead of that, 1,360. And 1,341 is Saw 5. So obviously, in the Saw franchise, spoiler alert, this is not the highest grossing. It's not the second highest grossing.
I'd assume 4 or 5
there
is
are
the wheelhouse.
Seven. So let me just tell you that. There
I
are
would,
seven
I
as
would
of right
think
now.
Like somewhere in that 3 to 4 to 5 range is the highest grosser.
Which one is the highest grossing Saw film?
I'd say 3.
You're close. It is actually Saw 2. Saw 2 grossed $87 million, and it was the highest. And they go incrementally down from there, followed by Saw 3, Saw 4, and Saw 5. The final movie, Saw 3D, is 6th, and Saw 6 is the 7th highest grossing. So this one right here, the original one, is 5th out of 7. And then 2 is the most successful.
But
which,
2, 3, 4, 5
yes.
were the right there.
That was,
that's what I assumed was the
right,
sweet
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, that was the sweet spot for Saw. I do think it's not surprising that a movie that sort of came out of nowhere, the stars were stars, but not people that you're lining up around the block to see their movies. James Wan was not a thing at that point. Produced by or directed by James Wan didn't mean anything. So you have this movie that does end up making $56 million. I think what it did is really kind of establish that Saw brand and built an audience that by the time the sequel came out, after having heard about this movie for a year, having caught it on video or whatever, boom, people were there opening night to see Saw 2. And then as those movies kind of became less and less, the audience dwindled
well,
to a certain extent.
It also, it was the first of something.
Yeah.
I never thought about this as a Paranormal Activity comparison, but they are. Like, as I think in my head, like, there are a lot of comparisons you could make because, yeah, Blair Witch did the found footage. Cloverfield tried, but then Paranormal Activity blew it off the charts. So that opened up a lot more found footage horror movies. Whereas Saw introduced kind of torture porn. In a way, Hostel, I think, is a direct result of Saw. Hostel 2, Teresa's, that Elisha Cuthbert where she is trapped and then makes out with the dude and then turns into a serial killer vigilante at the end. I forget the name of that one, but there was that brand there, and there were a handful of them that came out, which kind of piggybacked off of Saw. Like, they're movies that we were only getting released in theaters because of Saw's success. So then tack that on to a bunch of other Saws, and yeah, you can get burnt out on it.
Yeah, and certainly with one coming out every year from 2004 to 2010, you're probably going to get burned out. Even in the Friday heyday, you didn't have a Friday the 13th every year. I mean, you know, if you skipped a year, that was probably about enough.
And I mean, that's where Saw did it, because you have this, hey, we could make this for a couple million dollars
right.
in the matter of a couple of weeks. I mean, I don't think Saw 2 was greenlit until after Saw 1 came
right.
out.
Yeah.
So and you're talking a turnaround. It came out on Halloween.
Right.
It was out the next Halloween. So
yes.
that's what happened with the Paranormal Activities was, okay, we can do one every year now because we can start this thing in November, December and have it signed, sealed, delivered by Halloween.
And you have however long it took. Certainly you can understand how James Wan and Leigh Whannell, they had a lot of time from whenever they began the idea for this thing to when Lionsgate actually greenlit it. That's probably a lot of time to dream up Saw. And then they have maybe 50 weeks to have the next one in theaters. And then from that point on, you're kind of painted into a corner where, okay, now we're going to buy, you know, we're going to basically own this weekend for the next 5 years. It almost would defy logic that the movies could continue to be good with that kind of production schedule, I guess.
And especially because it's a tough brand to maintain because you've established what Saw is. How many times can you make Saw before it just gets old? But yet, how far can you divert from Saw and have people still care? So it's a tricky formula there. It's not Friday the 13th. Oh, let's send Jason to Manhattan
right.
to keep it fresh. Let's have people with dream powers to keep it fresh. This is like, what are you doing to keep it fresh?
And it wasn't even like there's more story to tell.
The first one is a perfectly wrapped up standalone movie.
I mean, yes, it could have ended there. And that, I mean, certainly there are loose ends to tie up. But Saw 2 wasn't made because we needed more of the Jigsaw story. There was more to it's financial. So these are, by definition, like cash grab sequels, especially if you're going to schedule them six out. It's not like James Wan is George Lucas sitting there with all sorts of binders.
A big storyboard.
Exactly, that's got 12 movies, and you're just like, well, wow, where do you want to start?
Saw Episode 4.
A New Hope. Though, I guess you could make the argument that when George Lucas got Star Wars made, that was kind of originally standalone.
Here, write a novel that's a sequel to it in case it bombs.
Right, exactly. Turns out it made a little bit of money, quite a bit more than Saw did. But at some point, somebody had to take a chance on Lucas. They were going to take a chance on this giant saga, much in the same way that I don't think people were really lining up outside of James Wan's door to make this movie.
They couldn't get it made. Wan and Whannell, they're both Australian, and they couldn't find anybody to make this thing. They had the script and just had no interest. So that's when they got some money together and they filmed the Shawnee Smith scene to kind of release
with her at the police station recounting her experience.
Yeah, with the
yeah, she had to cut the guy open to get the key
yeah,
to take the bear trap
yeah.
off her head.
They made that scene and kind of released it as a short film and then shopped that. And I saw that first before I knew anything about Saw. So, I mean, I was amped for Saw to come out because I knew it was the continuation of this short story. And I thought that was brilliant because if you look at a snapshot of this movie, it's all summed up in there. Everything about Saw is summed up in that Shawnee Smith scene where you have two people in a very terrible situation. One of them has to do the unthinkable to save themselves. So do they save themselves or do they? It covers a lot and it was shot for cheap. So it's like, hey, we can make a full movie of this, which it's a cool different approach because you see so many people now, like Lights Out
I was
from
just
earlier this
Lights
year.
Out, yeah.
That was a short film that got made into a full length. And that happens a lot. This was a full length that was shot as a short film, almost like a trailer. And I thought it was cool having Shawnee Smith helped because like nerds like me, like I knew her, Summer School, Decker, whatever the Ted Danson show was. I knew who Shawnee Smith was. So it was cool to see that, and it got me amped up for the movie.
Certainly, I had not seen anything coming out ahead of it. It was just, I don't even remember a ton of the details of the marketing, but I do know that Halloween, you're looking for stuff to do, and I was maybe a little bit old for haunted houses, so for me, like a new horror movie was something to do. And this didn't seem like any other horror movie that I was familiar with.
Especially
so I was willing to
that,
give it a try.
At that time.
Right,
because
exactly.
You were coming off The Ring, The Ring 2, The Grudge. You were in all these Dark Waters or whatever. You had all these Japanese remakes.
It was Jay stuff, right.
Yeah, so like this was a breath of fresh air because it was not just creepy little kids crawling at you. Like there was something more to this.
And this, I think, came out a week after even the first Grudge did. So, I mean, we were still maybe at the crest of that Japanese J-horror wave. But yeah, this did seem so different at the time. And it's hard now in 2016 to look back at Saw and kind of just consider this movie as a standalone. Even Dave, who has not seen the other ones, you know what Saw became.
Yeah.
So I feel like you kind of attach all that garbage to this movie.
It sours it. It sours it, I think, a little bit because I really like Saw. And then you have the stigma of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
right.
3D, which I didn't see. I had no interest in. I've heard bad things because I know they did start to fall apart.
Interestingly, you can buy them all at Walmart for $5, which is what I did.
But they're one of those where it's almost like soured by association because when I first saw, it was like, this is new. I have not seen anything like this. And it's the kind of thing where if I wait 10 years and rewatch it, it's like, man, that's refreshing. But in that 10 years in between seeing it and watching it again, there's also all these watered down versions of it carrying the same name. So I feel like that makes it hard, even on a rewatch, to go back and appreciate it for what it was. If you can go back and take that snapshot of that weekend, it was a breath of fresh air. It was it was a horror movie that was made for dirt cheap, that got studio backing, that made a ton of money, that got people talking. It wasn't just a flash in the pan, like people went and saw it because, whatever. It made an impact. Because you will have movies that make money, but then
certainly,
a couple months later, they're forgotten about. Saw wasn't that.
It showed up in 2004 and did not leave the collective consciousness for 6 years, which is completely unheard of in movies. While I rewatched it, I do feel like I was kind of able to separate like all the bad stuff and just say, I'm only going to look at what's on the screen and what I'm looking at. And it's hard to argue that the movie wasn't successful, spawning all the sequels and launching the careers of James Wan and Lee Whannell.
I mean, James Wan is the biggest horror director out there right now. He's transitioning to not just be a big-time horror director. He's turning into just one of the big-time players when it comes to directors.
He's producing the MacGyver TV show, which has nothing to do with horror.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
although
he's branching out.
Horror.
He, Fast 7 and 8?
Yes.
He's branched out, but yet he makes a horror movie. He can make it for $5 to $10 million, and it's guaranteed to open for $40 million, essentially.
Yeah, and even Whannell's had a very successful career.
Not on screen as much, which if you watch this movie, completely understandable. Has done a lot of writing and written some cool stuff, though.
When he's writing smaller parts for himself, I think he's able to do pretty, pretty well.
That school one. He stole every line in it.
Yes.
It's like that was a good piece.
Yeah, the Rainn Wilson movie. He was really good in that.
I mean, he wasn't bad in the first Insidious?
Yeah, but then again, it's like small.
Where he shows up as comedic relief.
Right.
Like,
small part.
Not carrying a movie.
Right. But those guys, I'm not sure Whannell's a household name now, but certainly James Wan is. And as far as screenwriters go, I mean, most of those guys aren't exactly household names. So certainly this movie was on to something. That not only did the public kind of pick on that, but people inside Hollywood too, and they kept giving these guys jobs.
Yeah, I mean, just Saw 2, Saw 3. He got the written by and the screenplay for those. They did that Dead Silence. Then Insidious 2, 3, and 4, Cooties, and then The Mule, and then their creators on Saw Legacy. So I mean, he hasn't strayed too far out of his comfort zone.
Oh, no,
whatever.
Just play the hits, man. But at least they had a hit.
Oh, yeah, they did. You build that into a career. They weren't flash in the pan guys. You see a lot of people get their shot, make their one movie, and then either go away by choice or just not get that other shot. And they've both, especially Juan.
Yeah.
Juan's turned it into one of the biggest directors out there.
Right.
But then Whannell's still working. I mean, he can cash Saw paychecks as long as he wants, but he's still out there doing stuff.
I guess we talk about the movie being a success. because it was, obviously, the sequels launched a couple careers. But, like, what was it, I guess, about Saw specifically that made people talk about it? And I think that, to me, one of the things, especially with the sequels, that you just assume that you mentioned torture porn, that Saw would be torture porn. But
I hate lumping it in I think there's such a negative stigma for that, but it fits.
I don't even mean it in terms of any kind of connotations, just what torture porn usually is. It's usually very graphic, almost needlessly so. Saw is not that way. The budget was $1 million. They couldn't be as graphic as the sequels were able to be. So you have this imagining of all these gross things that happen. You know, you talked about the Final Destinations, like the disembowelment in the pool. That's not the first one.
I think
the first Saw, like, even when Dr. Larry cuts his foot off to get out of the shackles, you don't see it.
Yeah.
You don't see any of Jigsaw's murders. You see the before and the after. You don't see the guy trying to crawl through the razor wire and ripping his guts out. You just see, like, a dummy there. So you have what everybody, I think, imagines is a super gory movie. But if you actually just look at what Saw
it leaves it for the imagination.
Yes, it does. It's not the gore. It's the story. Mm-hmm. The story and the twists and the red herrings are what people talked about for an entire year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those that what you don't see is what drives you, because you picture all this. And sometimes that's way more effective than showing it.
Right. I mean, from an implied gore standpoint, Hitchcock was doing that in Psycho. People think that's one of the greatest horror movies of all time. What Hitchcock was also good at was suspense and building mystery, which these guys were able to do in Saw. They take a super simple setup. It's two guys wake up in his crusty bathroom and then go. It's not quite your people get invited to a dinner party scenario, but it's simple and it can go anywhere.
And I mean, it does. Like, you have the Zepp character watching the Monica Potter and the kid. Then you have the Danny Glover character hunting down Cary Elwes, who he's convinced is the killer. There is a lot more to it that I think, until you rewatch it, you kind of forget about. Because it isn't just, I'm going to cut my foot off, I'm going to crawl through barbed wire,
right,
I'm going to cut the key out of this dude's stomach. There is more there. It would be a more impactful movie with some better acting, because there is enough there to keep you there, even with terrible acting.
Yes. I love Cary Elwes.
Not in this.
No, not in this. I love the Princess Bride as much as the next guy.
Different guy.
Right.
This guy was there for a paycheck.
And he shows up in one of the other ones. I think Saw 3 or something. Obviously just there for a paycheck as well.
Then you have Lee Wannell, who, keeping the budget down, might as well have the writer be one of the co-leads.
Right. And he's not an actor, but he doesn't. I mean, the other guys are, and he's not markedly worse than them. But again, I guess it's a horror movie, and you can almost, which is really a shame to say, but you can almost excuse the poor acting in it, because that's not what you're there for.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to see Danny Glover win an Oscar for this.
It's a James Wan movie. Like, it's like The Conjuring.
Before that was a thing.
Yeah, The Conjuring, Insidious. Like, you go see those, you know what you're getting. They're a James Wan movie. Well, the third one of Insidious is going to be a Lee Wannell movie, but, like, you know what you're getting with those, and you didn't know what you were getting, but that's what you got. It was a James Wan movie, because the story is the main character here. The story is what's driving you there. The story and the premise, that's what's getting you in the seat. That's what's keeping you there until the end. It's not the acting or the writing or the gore.
It's certainly not the gore with this one. And I think that's where having to essentially mass produce these things every year, the one thing you can't rush is a story. They were not able to come up with a compelling story for Saw 4, 5, 6, but they were able to figure out gross ways to kill people, so that's what they hung their hat on.
And I feel like that mentality, you would think, should be gone. The whole, like, oh, this made a lot of money this October, let's do another one next October. Let it breathe. I mean, that goes for everything. If you had a Halloween between Paranormal and Paranormal Activity 2, what's it hurt, really? Like, I get that it's a lot of money, but I think you're keeping it alive and you're not burning it out so much. So,
and maybe the idea was they didn't want to wait for the inevitable knockoffs to come and try and steal some of their thunder.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And maybe do Saw 2 right away, but then let it breathe once you've established it as a franchise. I'm not a fan of this, let's rush one out. Except that's what I want The Purge to do, because The Purge could be something different every time.
Well, right, but that story could be different. It's hard to argue with what they did, because they did...
I mean, they got 6 years out of it.
They got 6 years and almost $416 million, which for movies that were probably all together, it may have cost 20 to make, yeah. And that's being generous.
And I get that, but 2 through 6, you're there for the gore and everything. You're not there for what made Saw a competent movie.
Right, because it couldn't be recreated in that short amount of time. And one thing that I think really handicapped them is, you mentioned at the top, you've got Freddy, you've got Michael Myers and Jason. Jigsaw is not that dude. Even in Saw, Jigsaw doesn't really have that much action. So to try and create this entire mythology around a serial killer is tough, and I think the movies kind of collapse under that, trying to weave Jigsaw into all of these people's lives.
And that's where the first Friday the 13th, Jason's not really in it.
Right.
So you didn't, the Jason mythology doesn't come until 2 through 10, and Jigsaw's the same way, where in the first one, there's not really a Jigsaw presence, because it is a whodunit. So by the second one, I mean, I don't know where all they go with it, but I know Tobin Bell's role gets bigger and bigger.
It does.
And Jigsaw becomes this entity.
But it becomes, it really seems forced. You didn't have to force Jason into killing camp counselors in and around the Crystal Lake area. You didn't have to force Freddy into invading people's dreams and trying to, you know, become real again. That stuff seemed like an organic extension. I mean, a serial killer, I guess, in theory, could just kill people, because that's what a serial killer does. But Jigsaw had, like, it couldn't just be anybody. It had to be certain people that had to have a certain thing wrong with them. And they were almost Bondian in the way that he would overly exaggerate the means in which he was going to kill them. So I think that in and of itself just makes it so hard to try and continue. So, all right, the story is going to suck, because I can't write a seventh movie with this guy.
Especially when it's set up in the first one that he's doing this because he's going to die from a brain tumor or whatever.
Yes, an inoperable brain tumor that just happens to be not that terminal for the next 6 years, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I like the first one as a standalone. I think if you look at it as a potential franchise starter, it leaves you with enough questions that it's like, oh, I could maybe see a second one being cool.
Right.
But not enough to where, like, oh, I need to see more of this.
And certainly did. I mean, people went in droves to see the second. I mean, it made significantly more money. And I think it was because the first one was just so good. And
then Saw 3 made less money, which I think says Saw 2 wasn't as good as, you know, whereas Saw 1 got people out
right,
in more
yeah.
numbers to see
it
Saw 2.
It grew the fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 certainly didn't. And none of them have really done that since then, which I think we've really illustrated why we think that's the case, because as in most horror movies, the story is really the star. That is, I think, what made Saw a breath of fresh air, is it is sort of a murder mystery. It is a whodunit, and you're quite literally guessing right up into the end of that movie. And, you know, there are decent curveballs you see in horror movies, and I think M. Night Shyamalan has been kind of victimized by doing those. Well, how do you keep doing that? I think the guys from Saw figured that out themselves. Like, how do you keep throwing that Jigsaw stands up? He's been there the whole time. He likes a front row seat. He was sitting on the court for this entire movie. How do you duplicate that going forward? Which certainly proved to be difficult. Although it looks like they're going to give it another shot. You mentioned the upcoming Saw Legacy, which I think Wannell and Juan are just producing, which looks like it's going to be out sometime.
Right now, it's October 27th of next year.
Directed by the Spierig brothers, who we talked a little bit about during our Ethan Hawke episode.
That interests me, kind of. They're cool visual directors, but I don't know what they do. Are they continuing Jigsaw? Are they rebirthing Jigsaw?
They're not continuing Jigsaw. I wouldn't think so.
Oh, is he dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
Finally?
Finally.
Is Shawnee Smith Jigsaw now?
That did happen, yeah.
Did it?
That did happen. But with Legacy, yeah, you could see like a copycat or something like that. That's actually probably what they should have done movies and movies ago, and it would have sort of
Does
freed
he die
them
or
up.
Get killed?
He stops breathing. There's something that happens. His life force leaves his body. And to be 100% honest, I don't remember. I really don't. He got.
No more Saw for him.
He won't see any more Saw. I've not really read anything about the new Saw. I kind of like that.
Like the Blair Witch sequel.
Yes.
That came out. Nobody knew it was a Blair Witch sequel until like a month ahead of time. Obviously, this we know about, but there's
nothing. Because it's in the title.
There's nothing released about it.
Which, to me, kind of goes back to the original Saw. I mean, you had been able to see the short before that, so you kind of knew what was up. For me, and I think most of the general public, didn't really know anything. Certainly, calling it Saw Legacy, there is a legacy that people are going to have in their minds going in to see this. I would say there's been enough time to where I don't think we're sawed out at this point. There's been enough time to breathe where you might be willing to give this franchise a try. Although, if we consider this a reboot, at that point we're talking about 13 years between original and reboot. That's
like
a
Spider-Man. You said 7 was the last one?
Yeah, 3D was the 7th one.
So yeah, I mean, that's 6 years, which in movie time is, I guess, an eternity now.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I think it's funny that you have Saw that had 6 sequels in as many years, and we're still waiting on Avatar 2.
I don't think we're waiting on that.
Which was the highest grossing film of all time domestically when it came out, and we're still waiting on Avatar 2.
I'm all right without it.
I am too. I was all right without Saw too, but you know, we got 6 more of those guys. Really, we got the entire Saw septilogy, whatever. Saw saga. Saw-ga. In less time than it
Devin
took to
Saw-ga.
Make Avatar 2. Maybe, there you go, Saw Legacy. We just found your lead. If you can tell us what happened to Jigsaw, or at least refresh my memory, we'd love to hear about it. moviesonup@gmail.com. If you have a particular favorite death in the Saw franchise, I'll probably remember the death. I remember, I think it was the girl from Seventh Heaven who was like a heroin addict or
Jessica
something.
Jessica Biel?
No, the other one. And she had to like reach her hands in a box that was full of syringes, but it was also like razors, so like you couldn't pull your hand out.
That just sounds mean.
I don't know what the point of it was, but it was one where they were all stuck in this house and they were all in there together because they all knew each other somehow.
Like if you think of most of Jigsaw's games, most of them are pretty mean.
Yeah, I would say.
I wouldn't party with that dude.
No, at least not by choice.
No.
So that leaves us with just one episode left in the month of October, and I do say it will be a little bit of a party. It is our, I don't know,
Halloween special.
Halloween special. I don't know if it's like our 4th annual or
I think it's only the 2nd time we've done like this.
Yeah, done a Halloween special that's not really a regular
not
Movies
really
on Up
movies
episode.
Related.
We're going to be, I guess, dusting off Movies on Up theater a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a couple literary masterpieces next week.
Two legends,
guys.
Two legends, one episode.
That will be later this week, so come on back. But until then,
keep it up.